If you'll turn to Genesis, second chapter. And I do not know, though I've mentioned it several times, I don't know if I have spoken to you about this topic. I trust if I have, Larry will let me know and we can work out a different title. Genesis chapter number 2. Beginning with verse 15 down through verse 18. And I want to speak to you on, it is not good that man be alone. Not good for man to be alone. Would you bow with me as we seek our Father? Our Father, we've been told that we could come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy there and help in time of need. We have many needs in life. Throughout the week, these will have things come up where they need thy help. But probably the greatest need that we'll ever have here on earth is the time when we enter our closets and sit down on a pew. What we've been told to do, commanded, we are not able in ourselves, Lord. We cannot lift ourselves out of this state in which we've lived for 6 days, 7 days, and then immediately find ourselves back in the realms of spirituality. Your Father, help us. Give us of thy Spirit, and the spirit of wisdom and of utterance and of good hearing, and above all things, give us a greater thankfulness, appreciation, and a fervent, holy desire to always walk pleasing unto our Savior. Help your sheep, feed them. Glorify your Son. And Father, give help in declaring these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Whether I've titled this somewhere in the past, I have mentioned it on several different occasions. But beginning with verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now notice verse 15. Chapter 2 is the first place, and it will occur many times in this chapter, of the Lord God. In creating all things, all that is ever mentioned is God. Covenant keeping, loving relationship that He will bring His children into as a father, we as sons. But the Lord God, the Almighty, the Sovereign, Ruler in heaven and upon earth, and even in hell, the Lord. And He took the man that He had created and He put him in this garden. You dress it and you keep it. And you can eat of every tree of the garden but one tree. David, and then the greater David, said, I delight to do thy will, O God. And you can rest assured that this first man, being perfect, had a delight in doing the will of the Lord God. Now verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. When creation was completed, as God looked over everything at the end of day 6, He said, it was very good, in verse 31, chapter 1. Very. It was exceedingly good. Nothing has ever been done like that. Nothing is as good as that was. And that was the work of God at the end of 6 days. If you build a home, you'd want to get a carpenter that had a good reputation. You wouldn't want one that was careless or cut corners. When David had watchmen looking for a runner coming back from the battlefield to tell him what was going on, one spotted a man running, and he said, that looks like the running of Ahimaaz. David said, he's a good man, and he comes with good tidings. God being good. Like a good man is always going to speak right things and good things, true things. And God being good to the nth degree, far beyond what you and I can ever imagine. How can you come to chapter 2 and God looks at the condition in which man was and said, that's not good? You were told, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give us that ask of His Spirit? We being evil. But now and again, there is a right request coming from our hearts. These will always be right if in the closet we have the Spirit of God directing. You being evil, you can do good. You can give good gifts. God being good can never do anything except that which is good. It not being possible that the Creator would make a mistake explaining man to be, that's very good when he looked at him, and then later changing his mind and say, that's not good. Creator's going to do right. Everything he does will be perfect. Now, if you go purchase something, we men sometimes are, we might be the worst. We don't need instructions. We know how everything fits together. And you buy something and it's time for you to get it together. And you finally get so aggravated that you just put everything down and you go back to the box and you get the instructions. And you follow them. Not true with the Creator. You would know that all that he would do could be nothing less than good. He that created all things, before ever these words came out of his mouth, let there be, before he spoke that, the works of God were finished from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3. Now I ask you a question I don't think any of you can answer. Don't ask me, I know I can't. How long were these things in the mind of the Creator before ever there was light and darkness in that first day? Well, since nothing new can occur in the mind of God, not one thing, you've got to say they always were with God. All eternity passed prior to that first day. There always was. These things were in his mind. But we can't think like that. We're creatures of time, hours, days, years, decades, millenniums. Our minds cannot conceive that with God there is no such thing as a ticking of the clock to bring about the next second in your life. By the way, how fast is life passing by? You just celebrated the first day of the year just a few days ago, and here you are with a third of the year almost gone. We are creatures of time. The clock determines, but not God. So there was no past with God. God's always lived in the very present. Now, when God saw that everything he had created as being very good, Adam was included in that inspection. Adam, in the image and likeness of me, he's a perfect man. God said, let us create man in our image and after our likeness. And when God got through on that sixth day working with that handful of clay, there stood a man in the image of the coming Son of Man. Being in the image of Christ, he was a perfect being. But it was not good for that man to be alone. I mean, if a man is perfect, if an individual is perfect, what can be added to them to bring a greater perfection? Can you? No. Then will a helpmate that God made for Adam, will that make him more perfect? It can't be. Then what will it do? It will bring out the fullness in Adam. Bring out what he was that no man knew. And the reason God created Adam as a social being was that one day he would find out, as you and I are finding out, that our Lord is a social being. And it is certain that you that are in the bride of Christ can add nothing to him. Then why were we made? That the fullness of Christ could be evidenced on a people, on a church, on a bride. Now, how long was it before there was this realization in Adam? I mean, God said, I was very good, created in his image. I was very good. When did Adam come to find that he had that need? That'll bring me into greater fulfillment as a human being. Until a need arises in your life, you're going to go on living like everything is okay. If God doesn't smite you with a rod, then surely everything is all right. Do you realize that one of the greatest judgments of God, especially in this day, is his overall silence? How about a little one, a little boy or a little girl? They are satisfied in the very moment that they are in. They don't need anything. I mean, they had a good meal. They had rest. Now they got their toys and they're playing and they don't need anything. Then how long is it before that little one that for a few years lived in the very moment that he was in or she was in? How old are they before they begin looking for something else in life due to an emptiness within? How old were they when they figured out, I need something else? I am not a complete human being. So how long will it be before my birthday? And surely I will get on my birthday that will fill up this hole in me. Now, they're not thinking like that, but that's them. They don't know that they're thinking like that. Let me put it that way. But Christmas won't be long. Surely I'll get then that which will make me more complete. Or I get my license, or I get a car, or I finish school. And from the time that they begin living in the next moment, not satisfied where they are, they will keep on looking at things, buying things, building things, not realizing that they can't ever. You can't fill up that emptiness that you had. And especially in this day, you remove God out of society and you get this awful condition in America. So now women are not satisfied to be women, men not satisfied to be men, parents thinking that the first little disgruntled suggestion from their child, he needs to be a she or she needs to be a him. You see how messed up we are? Get rid of God. Now just scan over the country. Well, I digress there, so I'll get back. We're trying to figure out when Adam came to realize I need something else in life. Could it have been during the years probably that he was observing animals and how that the male and the female, they stayed together? And same with the next species and on and on. Could it have been there that in his view, he begins thinking, I don't have what they have. But he didn't know what he needed, but God did. And so the Lord, speaking with himself, within himself, it's not good that man I created, although he is perfect, although he's been complete, obedient to everything I told him to, he's looked after the garden, he's kept it, he's dressed it. But he needs one more thing in life to bring out his full identity. Or was it groanings in his heart that he didn't even know why he was groaning? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He, the Spirit, you with groanings. Why? Oft I don't know what to ask the Lord. I don't know what I need. Oh, this is on in our communication with the Lord. You just get to an end of self. What else do I need? And why the groanings? Because I do not know what I need to pray for. Well, before every need arose, or before any need ever arose in Adam's heart, provisions had already been made. And that which he needed was a part of him. And so God took one of his ribs, molded it into the shape of that woman, a helpmate for him, and brought her to him. Before one ever cries out, that is, in your heart, or ever you utter anything before God about your sinful condition, or the judgment day that lay ahead for all of us, for all that will come, none excluded, when the heart begins to make groans, what do I need in life? What will bring me to something of satisfaction in who I am? And there are those groanings, but before the first groaning, provision had already been made some 2,000 years ago when Christ died. Or in the Old Testament saints, he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now all of you here, there's one place, and there's only one place where every person that will be in glory must begin. And this will be a lifelong journey from Adam and Eve after the fruit to the last sinner that will ever be saved. Your journey began when an innocent victim shed, in the Old Testament, it was its blood. To us, that innocent victim shed his blood. But it wasn't enough that Jesus died. That will save no one. It is not enough that you acknowledge that he died. That blood had to be applied. Again, from Adam and Eve to the last Old Testament saint brought into the family of God, That innocent victim, lamb, turtle dove, whatever, and its blood applied to them pointed all to the Messiah. And no blood of bulls or of goats ever saved anyone, but it is what those animals represented and how, after being slain and the blood sprinkled and applied, they had to see God's innocent lamb dying one day. They had to get to God's perfect sacrifice, not that bull or goat or lamb. As we go back in time to Calvary, and that is the beginning of the journey of every saint of God traveling to the city of refuge. Now, how would you ever know or ever have a desire to travel to Mount Calvary, where you can have your burdens lifted and done away with. Well, as a young person, especially here in the South, we still have enough religion left that they are told you must be saved. But I wish they'd leave it right there. You've got to get to God to find out how and what you got to do. And leave them alone and let them find out for themselves in their uttering and groaning and weeping within the heart. God working in their hearts to will. You didn't choose, I didn't choose. Mom and Dad, leave them alone. Just teach and pray for and with. And the need within your heart being so great. Well, we haven't seen this in some time now. That even the family crying of Christian to come back could not deter his steps toward finding that place where he could get rid of that heavy burden on his back. Why did God work this in the hearts of all his children? All because in Adam, we sin. Please don't ever think in your heart, well, that's not right. One man sinned and I'm punished for it. If you had a vote on who you would have represent you before God in his walk and life, every last one of us would have voted for Adam. That's a man in the very image of God. That's a man that was good, very good, when God finished creation. But because Adam sinned, then the last Adam, as the Son of Man, had a need for an expression of his heart to a people. And if you're saved, you were one of those that would make up his bride. And the only way that Christ could ever come to that place of highest glory was a sinner come, repent, and believe, and live for him as one married to him. Only the bride of Christ, taken from the side of Christ, and brought to him by the Spirit. You know what our Lord prayed there in the garden? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am. Don't confuse that prayer as him praying that you'd be with him in heaven. That you're going to be if you are a Christian, if you're born again. I pray that they might be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, being in him in eternity, had its beginning in time when God, the Holy Spirit, worked in your heart and said, you need to find a Savior. And in time, Christ's one desire was that his people be with him. In them beholding his glory, then they are changed from image to image, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the rib which the Lord God took from Adam, Genesis 2:22, I took from the man, he made a woman and brought her. He brought her. God convicted you. God made a way for you to get to the Son of God, a sinner's only hope. And when God brought her, now Adam no longer is in that condition of not good. One greater than Abraham, our greater than Abraham, sent his servants out to go into all the world, preach the gospel for the purpose of finding the bride for his son. So Abraham's servant said, well, what if she won't come with me? You want me to take your son and take him over there in that land? No. If she won't come with you, your responsibilities have been fulfilled. And once the preacher has told you about salvation and getting to Christ and only in him having your sins forgiven, if you will not go and make an effort to begin a journey to find him, he's not coming back down here before the end of time to get you. Knock you over with something, get your attention. Nope. If the gospel declared doesn't do it by the work of the Spirit, you won't ever come. It's impossible. Now, there was a bride prepared and ready to follow. The servant asked, Rebecca, wilt thou go with the man? Her mother and her brother tried to interfere to prevent her from going. He said, don't hinder me. Wilt thou go with the man? She said, I will go. When God works effectually in a heart, then that's our response. I will go to find him. I will go to be with him where he is and beholding his glory, I will follow. And as provisions were already made for every need you'll ever have, as with Adam, when you come to know your condition, Christ waiteth to receive sinners, only sinners. You remember in Judges 6 when the Midianites enslaved Israel for 7 years? Judges 6:1. At the end of 7 years, God told Gideon, you go take your father's second bullock, that bullock of 7 years old, before Israel ever went into captivity, God had an animal being prepared to be slain, offered back to God for sacrifice. You go take that bullock, the one of 7 years old, and you offer him up. and you can lead this people out of bondage. One last passage. Children, Proverbs chapter 8. This is Christ before he ever became man. In all of eternity, that just one moment of time in which God dwelt up until that first day, here is your Lord. Verse 31, Proverbs 8, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. His earth. Well, that's not mankind. That's not our place. That's not our world. His earth. And my delights, 6,000 years before you got here, you are his child. My delights were with the sons of men. Adam was created in the image of the Lord God, and Jesus here told you he was a sociable being. I delighted with man before man ever got here. I don't know how we can put that together, but I just believe it. When God said it's not good for man to be alone, he was only reflecting the heart of the one that would be the redeemer of Adam. And our Lord's desire flowing from his heart was and will ever remain until the last son of Adam is brought to him. And when one day she, not this old male masculinity, she feels herself heavy laden and weary, tired and exhausted with toil and burdens, when she feels that within, then she can listen and hear his cry. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Only place you're going to find it, children, in him. So the fall of man permitted, as that mysterious means of Jesus Christ being raised to the highest elevation possible, far above and far beyond that of the sons of God, that he came in flesh, the Son of God. How it all worked. Was God guilty of forsaking Adam and Eve and letting them sin? Was God guilty of the sin? No. God does not tempt. Neither can God be tempted. God just left them alone. He knew what would become of man, a perfect man, left alone. And it was in that mystery that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Beyond and far above every child that he redeemed. Now the saints knew, in the Old Testament, the saints knew if a man being raised can become the friend of Christ, Abraham, the friend of God, Jesus to his disciples, "I call you not servants, but friends." But little did they know of the great mystery that lay beyond sonship. Hadn't got to that mystery, would not have known about it, had the Lord not called Paul up into the third heaven and there revealed that God did not only intend that his children be his friends, but that she would become the bride of his son. Now, where did this work take place? In the habitable part of his earth. And here below, the serpent bruised the heel of the God-man, but he bruised the head of the serpent. Here below, one entered into the strong man's house, and he bound him. He would lay hold on that old dragon, the serpent, and the devil, and Satan, and bind him 1,000 years that the gospel might go out, calling all the bride to the Lord Jesus. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, when the work of God's done, but during that 1,000 years, when the strong man or Satan or that old serpent dragon is bound, during that 1,000 years, the gospel will go out, calling out his bride. In this habitable part of his earth, the church, his church, will be built. And down here below, she will manifest his glory. And down here, the church being built, the gates of hell shall not hinder her being completed. Satan can do all he wants to. This thing's forever settled in heaven. But now here's the greatest wonder of all. This one of infinite understanding, this one that was always the delight of his Father, and seeing all things, before those first words, "Let there be," this one knew that the sons of men would reject him. They would put him to open shame. They would spit in his face and hang him naked on the cross. What was the first thing Adam and Eve did when they found out they were sinners? They got clothed. And that you might be clothed in the robe of his righteousness, he was stripped and hung there naked. But it was far more than spitting in his face. Down beneath that cross, where he was in the greatest of pain, that which is indescribable and which no one will ever know, not even those in hell. They will forever be learning about that pain. But he knew what men would do to him. He knew that the one he loved would be the one that would do this to him. You say, "Well, it was the Roman soldiers. It was a harlot church. And beyond that, it was the true church, for had he not done that, none of us would ever enter glory." there on the cross in the greatest of pain. Even further, there was the travail of his soul. And this one that delighted and rejoiced in the habitable parts of the earth, he left glory where angels and seraphims worshiped him. Not only worshiped him, but adored him. And he would forgo that to come to his habitable part of the earth, where his people could carry out their wicked deed, putting him to death. Not just any death, but that of the cross. Would you ever have anything to do with one that did that to you? Just come close to doing that. You wouldn't speak to them. You wouldn't want them in your life. But the Son of God knew what the love of his heart, would do. And because God made Adam in the likeness of the Lord Jesus, Adam found out that it was a wife that would bring out the fullness of his heart. And the Lord Jesus would let her do that to him. And these, by wickedness, expose the depths of his heart. If any of you go out and use anything I said here as a license to sin, God help you. His delight with the sons of men. And those very men would bring out the depths of his heart. Not good for Adam to be alone, because the last Adam had a love for the sons of men before they were ever created. Our Lord delighted in them. You wouldn't do it. There's no way you would do that for a woman. There's just no way. Oh, I would. No, you wouldn't. Didn't matter how much you love. I mean, you let that pain and that weight get so heavy on your back and say, I can't handle anymore. Our Lord, well, Tim told you about him. Be careful what you do with him, children. Lost or saved, be careful. Herein is your door to glory, or the broad